I'm starting to reach out to my family again. They're very negative towards the Lord. So I think by sharpening our sword is really important to understand who we are in relationship with. Who do we belong to from the get-go?
And how do you do that?
By trusting him.
And how else do you do it practically speaking, day to day? How do you remember
you
who he is?
Day. And then you read in his words. But it's also there's people that do not know who the Lord is and do not know who he is, but they feel his presence. And it's really important that we remember who loves us ultimately.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This is our last week in the study called Captive, focusing on 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. This week we're going to look again at the segment that talks about strongholds, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The final piece of that scripture says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're going to take other Bible verses this week and marry them to the core scripture of 2 Corinthians 10. And when we look at it, we'll see the entire counsel of the Bible shows us how to control our thought life and let God be in charge. Let's get started.
Now, I'm going to go back to the NIV version of our core scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, because in this translation, it doesn't say high things. It says every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And in this moment, as much as I like high things, I don't know. I guess visually strikes a chord for me because it's like I see something up high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I like the New King James. But I think in this context, as we unpack what high things are, it's good to think about pretension. What do you think about when you think about pretension?
Faking it.
Yeah. You can see in the homework. I gave it away. It shares the root with the word pretend, which I had not, again, really thought of until I did this word study on pretension. It gives us insight into the pretending. Something else is pretending to be bigger than God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretending. It can't be. But sometimes it pretends... And we agree. And then it becomes higher than God, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'm going to go with the opposites. So I have 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Unless somebody else has it, I'll read it.
Before we read that, can I share something?
Please.
About pretending?
Please.
I use this a lot. You know how Satan pretends to be God, and we have to understand our thought processes of what voice of God is and who's Satan's word. And since we're talking about opposites, I think this is appropriate.
Yeah.
God, I use this. It's always in my Bible. We're easily manipulated and easily falsely guided. And so I think it's really important that we know who's God's voice and we know who Satan's voice is. And God's voice calms, Satan's voice obsesses. God's voice comforts, Satan's voice worries. God's voice convicts, Satan's voice condemns. God's voice encourages, Satan's voice discourages. God's voice enlightens, Satan's voice confuses. God's voice leads. Satan's voice pushes. God's voice reassures. Satan's voice frightens. God's voice stills. Satan's voice rushes. So I just feel, since we're talking about opposites, it's really important that we understand who our God is and what his voice is and how powerful his voice is and how he speaks to us and how we could defeat
discern what is
when it's still a toehold,
what is managing you right now. Are you being managed by God or are you being managed by the enemy? That's what helps me understand what's managing my thoughts right then.
That's awesome.
And I absolutely love it and I keep it with me. It's like my bookmark.
I want to read 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, and I want you guys to think for a second about the opposites. Specifically, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, for we do not wage war as the world does. Okay, so have that in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And let's think about high things. Who's with me?
We're with you.
Let me see your eyeballs. And then I'm going to read 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, which says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
Mm-hmm.
Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. A lot of people write down 7.
Mm-hmm.
as one of their little index card posted on the mirror in the bathroom, mm-hmm. verses cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But don't miss 6 and the pairing of the two of them together. Humble mm-hmm. yourselves, therefore, mm-hmm. under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. If I had to think about that in the context of high things, how do I, as a believer, fight the battle that I wage in a different way than the world? How do I accomplish that through 1 Peter 5, specifically verse 6?
Well, it's humbling ourselves, yielding to God, who is sovereign, and ultimately, I think, remembering it's God's battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do it in our own strength.
That's good. What would the opposite of humbling myself be?
Like glorifying yourself?
It was opposite day. Opposite day in the elementary school. Yep. Say it again.
To glorify yourself.
Mm-hmm. Or, Allie, what were you doing this morning?
Putting myself first.
You weren't. Mm-hmm. She wasn't glorifying herself because mm-hmm. she was doing dishes.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
but,
glorifying
but
about
she
that.
Was putting her own stuff first.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If we think about the opposite, look, guys, there's no magical formula.
Yeah.
You have to actively engage in fighting this war and grabbing back your thoughts
mm-hmm.
because thoughts become actions and that's how we live our lives. I'm not saying it's easy to put our own stuff aside, but I will say it becomes easier when you practice it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at the 1 Peter 5, verse 6, and I think, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, I don't actually think about the lifting up. I don't care if I ever get lifted up mm-hmm. In a worldly way.
Right.
There are some days I need to get lifted up in an emotional way,
yeah.
mm-hmm, in a spiritual mm-hmm. way. And when I think about humble myself, the middle part of that scripture is what it's all about, under God's mighty hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said a minute ago about the battle belongs to him,
mm-hmm.
that's true throughout.
Mm-hmm.
It's true throughout the kingdom calendar, right? Mm-hmm. We know how it ends.
Yeah.
It's true in my little life, and it's true in this very moment. Look, I think the ultimate Christian understanding is that my life is not my own. In fact, there's a passage that says, you are not your own, you were bought at a price.
Yeah.
I love that because mm-hmm. I think about the cross and the price, the unfathomable price that I was purchased.
Mm.
And to at the end of the day think, this is not even about me. I'll come all the way back to that what if problem. When I said, what if I die? And I thought my kids would fall apart. How self-involved is that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That I think I am here to be their everything. That mm-hmm. only they're only going to be okay if I'm here to make sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. They're not. Their life isn't about me. It's not about me. It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
And humbling myself in every situation just means putting myself to the side
mm-hmm.
and saying, this is really in God's mighty hand.
Mm-hmm.
You see the sort of revelation, like
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, okay, I said one of the precepts of managing my thoughts is being thankful. I'm going to put a second precept up that says not focusing on myself, being humble,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it's God's mighty hand. That would be, I would say, a second precept. I probably should write down the precept so I can sum this series up. Be thankful
mm-hmm.
and be selfless. I'm sure we'll uncover more, but push myself out of the way, recognize myself in this situation, recognize where I'm playing a part
mm-hmm.
and just push it out of the way.
It's a very freeing way to live.
And have peace.
Yeah.
And the life, the abundant life that God asked sent his son to provide for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just conclude high things by saying high things only get in our lives one of two ways. Either we push them up above the position of God or we fail to pull them down. They don't come in
mm-hmm.
any other way, guys. It's we either push them up there or we don't pull them down off that pedestal. Being intentional about being aware,
mm-hmm. we'll
put the magnet up, know how I'm being managed right now, be aware of it, and then deal with it. And that, I would say, is probably a good way to conclude the whole thing, because the strongholds, arguments, and high things, being aware of it and then dealing with it, in the way that God prescribed. I'm going to skip over the group discussion of examples from our lives and how we gain victory because I feel like we already really did that.
Yeah.
I'm going to read, as much as I know we're all sick of hearing my voice, including me,
mm-hmm.
I want to move quickly. So since I have them marked, we'll read them and then one of you guys will say how we can apply it to this lesson. Okay? So the first one I'm going to read is 1 Corinthians 1, 19, which says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Now it's your turn to say something.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. How does that apply?
I wrote God's wisdom. I guess I was thinking that we, I'm not sure what I was thinking when I wrote that.
I feel like it's God's truth, his word.
I didn't write.
No, but from what I heard, because like it will frustrate other people.
Yeah.
That don't know God's word. It frustrates them because we are the God's word is the truth. It will even frustrate Satan because we're using it towards, like, we're revealing his lies.
I'm really glad you said that application because I personalized it. I really like to learn stuff. And I've identified over the years, my cherished sin is pride. I can't deal with it. I can't let go of it. I recognize the ways that my confidence serves me well in God's kingdom, that mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of stuff. And mm-hmm. like, I really am still at this point in the game coping with pride. Mm-hmm. And guys, honestly, self-involvement, I have moments where I'm just like, I'm not worthy. How am I accomplishing this? I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And so it's this self-involved thing, whatever you want to call it, pride, whatever. And so when I read that passage, I heard God say to me, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. That applies to me because I love to accumulate knowledge. And what is that? That's pride. Mm-hmm. If I'm accumulating the knowledge of the Bible mm-hmm. for the sake of my own ability to regurgitate it and sound smart,
right.
he's going to frustrate that. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing it for this intimacy with him and the relational and to better my own life, then he's going to bless that. Mm-hmm. And it's all about how am I managing it in my mind, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Really. And so that one for me was really personal. But I'm really glad the way that you said it too. Okay, Psalm 139, 5 and 6 says, I love this one. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. How does that apply to strongholds, arguments, and high things?
Well, we can never be God, being like God is unattainable, but we go through these strongholds and overcoming them helps us to be more like God. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. More like Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the juxtaposition, I say that word a lot, the parallel between 5 and 6, again, I feel like sometimes we isolate out scripture mm-hmm. and we don't, you know what I always say? Don't just know the address, know the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. We think about God like that a lot.
Yeah.
But to partner it with the verse right before, you hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Mm-hmm. That's so intimate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that these two, it's these two verses that are right next to each other show us the intimacy mm-hmm. and the love that he has for us and the bigness that he has to handle all the strongholds, yeah. mm-hmm. high things, and arguments. Mm-hmm. That he loves us enough to hold us in the palm of his hand. Mm-hmm. To lay his hand upon us, hem us in. Guys, think about that visual. If you make a hem mm-hmm. in a piece of clothing, you're careful, and you fold something in. Mm-hmm. That's a very intimate, very refined action. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we look right next to that scripture. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too lofty. And that reminds us of the bigness. So if you think of the intimacy mm-hmm. right next to the bigness, mm-hmm. I feel like that reminds me that all the strongholds, arguments, and high things, there's nothing too big for him to handle, and mm-hmm. there's nothing too small for him to handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that you're taken care of because he loves you.
Yeah.
That's back the whole intimacy part.
Mm-hmm. And the mercy and the gentleness and the grace, sort of mind-blowing. But really, at the beginning, we talked about the more obvious strongholds and the less obvious strongholds. There's nothing too big, and there's nothing too small.
Yeah.
He's God over all of it.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And for me to remember that means I can have victory over it while it's still small. Mm-hmm. And I can have victory over it when it gets so big that I can't even right. see it, all of it. Again, another thing we could talk about for a week.
Yeah.
But I don't know, chew on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. It's Paul saying, my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And then 5 says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. How would you say that applies to strongholds, arguments, and high things?
You can't go to necessarily a person or yourself for the answer. That mm-hmm. brings in the buts and the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
But God has the answer. Turn to his word. Don't turn to the confliction in your mind mm. or what other people are telling you. You need to turn to the word for the answers.
Which reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I should have put that one in here, too. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 3:5.
But it also makes me think of the opposite of, you know, the world and the world's view and the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And, you know, because we see and are surrounded by the world 24/7, it's sometimes hard to remember that's not the best wisdom. It's not the ultimate wisdom. But sometimes I think it's so easy to fall prey to the opinions of so-called smart people.
You know, at the very beginning of this series, we talked about being intentional about what you allow to come into your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
We have choices we can make.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
We have choices. Mm-hmm. We're not victim to the world. Like, oh, I'm forced to lay down on this train track and let the train run me over. Mm-hmm. I cannot be on the train track. That is my choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not condemning. You understand what you're saying? Or any of us for being under the influence of the world. We know that we're all under the influence, but we do have choices we can make that make the world less influential over us. Do I need to watch that show? Do I need to read that book? Do I need to spend time with that friend? Or if I spend time with that friend, how do I prepare for it? Just intentionality of what I'm letting get past my filter. I talk about the filter a lot. And God's word is the filter. It's the litmus test. Is this worthy? Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is lovely, whatever is true. There's eight. By the way, that's how I remember it. Philippians, F-O-R, eight. There's eight things in that Philippians 4:8 that are what you're supposed to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know them all, but I know the address. If I choose to only let those things, is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this true? If it's not, I'm not going to let it in. Just to be alert, aware, and intentional. So thank you for hitting that note. Okay, and Job 38:2. Oh, poor Job. I swear every time I open the book of Job, I say, poor Job. 38:2 says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? What does that mean? Do you remember what happened with Job?
Yeah. So he's questioning God.
And by the way, his friends are questioning what's happening to him. You know, they're basically
why
like,
why is this happening? What did you do wrong to cause this?
And so the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? I guess I just would encourage you to think, who is it in your life that darkens God's counsel through words without knowledge of God? Who is it in your life? Is it you? That you're speaking to yourself without the counsel of God entering into that sort of self-conversation? Is it a friend? Is it a relative? Is there someone in your life who's darkening the counsel of God's word? And how does that apply to me handling my strongholds, my arguments, and my high things that I'm coping with in this life? Just worthy.
I just think it's really important that we know who God is, and that even with the footholds and the strongholds, that with what Job said, me personally, I'm starting to reach out to my family again. So it's more, they're very negative towards the Lord, but it's really important for us to prepare mentally before we even go there and remember what God's promises it is to us. So I think by sharpening our sword is really important to understand who we are in relationship with, who do we belong to from the get-go.
And how do you do that?
By trusting him.
How else do you do it practically speaking day to day? How do you remember
you talk
who
to him
he
every
is?
Day. And then you like you read in his words, but it's also there's people that do not know who the Lord is and do not know who he is, but they feel his presence, and it's really important that we remember who loves us ultimately. To, you know, not listen to those voices that aren't true.
There's certainly a lot of application to the people around us for all of the Bible. And of course we all have people we love who we wish could see it better or could live the abundant life that God promised to us. I say to my kids all the time, and I say to myself, the truth is the only thing I can control is my own response. I can't control what's happening with them. I can't control what's the drama around me. What do I really have power over? Only my own business in it. Whatever that is, whatever my response is. And that's really the core of this study. How do I manage my own thought process that turns into my actions so that they glorify God in every experience I have, internal and external? I think part of that is sort of knowing, I know, the serenity prayer, like give me the peace to, I don't know the serenity prayer, wisdom to know what mm-hmm. stuff I can control and what stuff I can't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the core of what we're talking about. In my own mind, how can I manage my thoughts in such a way that I give to God what belongs to God, but I take ownership of what belongs to me and I deal with it. The first step is identifying it, knowing that I have the ability to do that through God's Holy Spirit that lives inside me. I have the ability to accomplish these things. I can take every thought into captivity to obedience of Jesus Christ and his word, the way he wants me to think and act and be.
And so I also think it's important to pray before those things occur. I believe it was two sessions ago that, I forget her name, but she said, and I've been doing this, and it's really, I love it. We ask the Lord to condemn those negative thoughts out and fill them with the Holy Spirit. And
that was Romy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. It was like, condemn them out, cast the negative thinking away, and mm-hmm. just fill it with the Holy Spirit and fill it with your word. And I truly love that. Mm-hmm. And I truly love that she said that. And I've been like doing that. And it's important that we ask the Lord to help us do that.
Yeah.
And have the Holy Spirit work with us too, to and fill in those like little holes.
To mm-hmm. take, I'm going to say just a totally girly analogy, and then we'll pray and be done. I don't carry a big purse anymore, because when I carry a big purse, I fill it with stuff I don't need. Isn't that true of my brain? If I leave mm-hmm. an open space, I fill it with stuff I don't need. I carry a wristlet, it has my credit cards and my phone and some cash, mm-hmm. and that's it. I can and my driver's license. That's it. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. I'm good. I keep my makeup somewhere. I mean, I keep a little bit of makeup in the car for when I forgot to put it on. I keep a little bit, but I don't carry my makeup around. I don't mm-hmm. care. I carry, you know, things that women need sometimes unexpectedly. There's always a way to get that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't carry hairspray. If I haven't done my hair before I leave, it's fine. Whatever. It's not getting done. I mean, that's certainly not getting done out of my purse. And I just know that about myself. When I carry a big purse, I fill it up with mm-hmm. stuff I don't need. And then I'm carrying around a heavy purse. That does not make me happy. And I think that mentally, this is a good analogy. Like, how am I going to make sure that I don't have a big empty space by filling it with God's word? And that's a really great analogy that Romy, I loved it too.
I loved it.
It was sort of like a revelation. We were all like, oh. that we empty something out. We ask God to take something away. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we don't ask God to fill it back up with himself. And again, the intentionality has to be in. Like, God, take this away and then fill it with you. Take away this stronghold and then fill me with you. Take away this high thing and fill me with you. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we say, God, pull down this stronghold and push up yourself. Cast down this argument and this high thing and help me put you up where you belong. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it's a good reminder to, you can't just push out stuff, then it leaves a hole and Satan's going to rush into that hole. He's going to come in a different way, sneaky little jerk, and you're not going to see him coming. But if you block it with the Holy Spirit, fill me up, Lord, with your Spirit and crowd out everything else. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for filling us up and for being available to be present whenever we need you. No matter how disobedient we've been, no matter how we've let the strongholds and the arguments and the high things take your place in our lives, you're always available when we come back. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, and help us to be grace and mercy to others to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive Series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive Series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.